Okay, thank you for joining us on this session today. I'm here with Brian Jones from the Engineering Group. So welcome, Brian. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Excited to be here.
My name is Jeremy Thake. I'm a technical product manager in the Office 365 marketing team. And I'm here today with Brian Jones, as I just said. And Brian's been in the engineering team for a long time. Do you want to just introduce yourself quickly and what your experience is with Office 365?
Yeah, sure. I've been a program manager in Office for about 15 years now. I started on the Word team, and I focused primarily on developer technology in Office. So everything from things like file formats, back when we did our HTML output in Word, things like smart tags, smart documents, all the fun stuff. And then recently I've been working a lot on apps for Office and apps for SharePoint, and so leading the team that's called the Office Developer Platform Team. And we own the extensibility model across Office, SharePoint, Office 365.
Great, that's excellent. And it's great to have you on the show. I mean, it's really important for people to understand that getting the engineers on these things and getting their perspectives on what the Office 365 developer story is exciting to hear exactly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So today we're going to do a very high-level overview of what Office 365 development means to you as a developer out there in the, not just the Microsoft ecosystem, but in the broader web development ecosystem as well. And so today, what we're going to cover is essentially an introduction to what we mean by development on top of Office 365. And then we're going to show some highlights of essentially what the app model does for you as a developer, what the Office 365 APIs mean for you as a developer, the tools that you'll require, and also then some resources to keep on top of what's happening in the developer world. I'm sure as Brian can contest to here, we've gone from a very different ship cycle, and maybe you just kind of elaborate on that and what that means to developers and more importantly, what it means to you as an engineer.
Yeah, absolutely. So just as we've made the big move to the cloud, we're starting to get more presence on mobile devices. We've really shifted out of that old model that we used to have where we'd have a new version of Office come out about every 2.5 to 3 years. The team is obviously extremely excited about it because it gives us much higher bandwidth communication throughout the process with all of our partners, all of our developers and customers. And so as Jeremy was alluding to, there's a lot of features that we've been releasing really on a monthly basis. There are a lot of things that we announced at SharePoint conference back in February, and we continue to add new features. And so it's a really great new model for us, especially for someone who focuses on platform and developers, because we're constantly getting feedback from our partners around new capabilities they'd like to see, new APIs they'd like to see us add.
Cool. Yeah, and I think that transitions nicely into really this journey that Office has taken as a developer, whether you've come from a pre-existing part of development on top of the platform, whether it be Office client or whether it would be SharePoint development. Typically, as you can see on this slide here, the journey that you've taken is from a Microsoft perspective as we shipped the Office products, and over time, then we focused more on SharePoint Server, Exchange, and Link, and obviously a lot of the Word server type technology. And really where the future is from a devices and cloud is not just reaching on people's PCs and desktops, but across multiple different platforms. And also, more importantly, and I think what's really exciting is across other platforms such as Apple's platforms and Google's platforms with Android and iOS. And it's something that is highly being focused on right now. And hopefully by the end of this module, you'll be able to get an understanding about what you as a developer can do across all of those different devices and platforms when it comes to Office 365 development. Now, part of that is really focused on the opportunity. Right now, in Office 365 alone, there are over 1 billion users and across, obviously, the Office client stack that are using consuming Office. And what's really amazing is that the research that's been done is that 2 to 3 hours a day in the individual within an organization is spent within those Office applications. And we're seeing more and more focus on mobile devices. Currently, they reckon there's about 1.2 billion people using mobile devices in their day-to-day enterprise work, as well as their personal work. And they reckon that will grow quite significantly by 2018. So we really see this opportunity not only to target Office client there, but also to target some of the server technology we have to reach your business users or maybe your customers if you're an ISV building for the Office store across that broad spectrum of scenarios. And obviously with stats like 400 plus petabytes of data inside the current Office 365 service, it's very exciting to think about those business scenarios of leveraging all that that data that's already in that service in your own business scenarios or maybe in your ISV products that you're building to ship to that store. And I think the key here is from an opportunity is that it gives us a rich set of experiences that we can target. I know Brian spends a lot of time here with various different ISVs and large enterprise customers understanding what those scenarios are. And maybe there's a few that you might want to share with us around what you're seeing ISVs, for instance, doing in this space to leverage the opportunity that exists today.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the key things that's been just a traditional piece of Office development has always been the idea of getting extensions inside of Office. So taking the experiences where people are living, like inside of Outlook, Word, Excel, SharePoint, and just adding some customization, extending that experience, bringing more data in, even bringing new capabilities and features. The thing that we've started to hear a lot more about that we've started to focus on is people building their own custom mobile apps. And so we're seeing a lot of folks that are building mobile apps around productivity that are more of these point solutions targeted at really niche but really important scenarios. And so, and they've been talking to us about wanting to go and still have those things remain connected to Office. And so one of the things that we announced at SharePoint conference back in February was the Office 365 APIs. And what that does is that allows people to build mobile apps on Android, iOS, Windows, that are their own custom native apps, but they're backed by Office data, so they can connect to the user's calendar, the user's documents, communications. And that's something that we're really excited about, and we're getting a lot of great feedback from developers around that.
Yeah, and so really the way that we position this with the slide around the development platform is we see the opportunity to exist within our user interface, within our products such as Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and obviously you know SharePoint and various different online mechanisms of that too. But more importantly, I think where it's interesting is that we can start to target devices where those products will run. So for instance, the iPad apps that have been launched recently, we will eventually be able to target those where you'll build the app once for Word, but that app will work across both the desktop Word as we've always known and loved to the desktop, to the app running on the iPad, as well as maybe in some of the other modern apps that we will be announcing, and obviously the online versions of Word as well. So there's some work being done right now by engineering to make sure that we can cover all those different scenarios. But the real intent there is that you write once, but you can target many different service areas with that one application. And then additionally, as well as being able to get into our products, we also want to, as Brian mentioned, have those robust APIs that we can use from our own mobile devices where we build apps and target on there, or maybe in our own standalone web application. So we don't have to build a SharePoint app and connect to SharePoint. We could be running a standalone web application on a on-premises server or maybe somewhere in the cloud and just reach in and connect through. And we'll talk a little bit in an overview about both of those scenarios today. Now, one of the really compelling things that's changed significantly since our previous models here is that we're not tied to the same stack that the desktop product was running in, or maybe the web application of SharePoint or one of the online products of the equivalent was running on. We can be building in any of those technologies that you're comfortable with building as a web developer, whether that's Rails, whether it's Node, PHP. What kind of intention was there around that? What was driving that kind of need to move away from being tied to that stack inside the product that you were running in?
Yeah, we've had a big focus in Office and even in Microsoft for a long time around interoperability. One of the things that I spent a lot of time on was the OpenXML file formats, for instance, about 6 or 7 years ago. And the idea was that Office becomes more valuable the more connected it is. And this is really true when you look at developers. Most developers these days don't like to make a big, huge career bet on one specific platform. They'd like to be able to target multiple platforms. And there's always the new language, new tool du jour. And so what we wanted to do is make sure that whatever languages, whatever technologies developers like to use, they still felt like Office was a framework that they could go and extend and a set of services they could go and call into. And so we made a big bet on web standards. The way that you extend our applications now is just using HTML and JavaScript. The way you call into our services is just making RESTful calls. The way you authenticate is using OAuth. And so we're really making that huge shift to pure web standards, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback around that. It means that there's a great experience if you're using the tools that we go and provide, like Visual Studio, but you can also use other tools if that's something that you'd rather do.
Yeah, and I think that's the compelling thing and exciting thing for us in the store is that we're already seeing some of these apps that are in the store that are written on these different stacks like PHP, where you know the end user of Office in PowerPoint, for example, is adding that app directly into PowerPoint. They don't have to know that it's running in PHP, but those developers that had shipped their SaaS service running on a PHP stack very easily integrated into PowerPoint with their existing web development knowledge of PHP, rather than kind of us pressuring them into leveraging a Microsoft stack as an option. So it's great to see that flexibility in how we do the development on Office 365. So with that, what we'll do is we'll jump straight into an overview of the app model, and then once we've done that, we'll jump into what we mean by the APIs as well. So with the app model from a user interface perspective, I think where we're really looking at here is that, as Brian's mentioned, you know, we're building against those web standards, whether it's you're building with HTML and JavaScript and REST. We are have the ability now, because we're separated and decoupled from the products that we're running within, that we can actually independently scale those apps. So the scenario that occurred in our old model was that essentially if your app was being heavily targeted and used, you had to scale up the entire SharePoint farm, for instance, to get that business application to run correctly. But with the new app model, Brian, how does that work? Why does that decoupling really help with the scalability?
Yeah, and again, it comes back to that flexibility that we're providing, so that if you can run your custom logic really anywhere that you want to. We have great experiences if you're going to run it on Azure, but if you want to run it in AWS, you can go and do that too. And so that gives, that loose coupling means you have that flexibility to go and run the solution wherever you want. You can then scale up the compute that you've assigned to that storage. And it also means that as we go and update SharePoint, update Office, we're not in any way impacting your solution and the platform that your solution is running in. So the two sides can be updated independently. And that was one of the big pieces of feedback that we were getting from developers on SharePoint is that, you know, as new technologies came out from the DevDiv org, right, MVC and things like that, people wanted to feel like they could go and take advantage of those things. And so we've shifted this loosely coupled model so there's a lot more flexibility and choice for folks in terms of where they build their solutions and how they build them.
Right, and I think part of that really was, you know, I've been in the SharePoint field for so long, and, you know, I was always wanting to play with that new MVC technology, but because of the way that the SharePoint stack was running on maybe ASP.NET 2.0 in the 2007 days, and in 2010 obviously we increased up, but we could never be parallel in terms of whatever the .NET framework was at the time. So it always felt like we're third-party citizens in the web development world, whereas now with the app model I can be building against AngularJS or, you know, whatever any of these new frameworks that are coming through, that now we're level peg with the rest of the web development world.
Yeah.
And then lastly there, with from an accessibility perspective, what it means is that when I'm building these apps, I can actually get it on any device or any web browser. Now, this does bring a few questions into play where you do need to test across those different web browser technologies. And the guidance there as a developer is that whatever browsers we support with our products, you should really support with your apps. So it's worth checking on MSDN to see kind of the standard browser support that we have and ensure that when you're doing your testing regime of your apps that you kind of meet those requirements as well. And then from a build from the cloud, we've already mentioned that scalability aspect, but the real nice part about this is that I can build that app anywhere, and essentially if I really want to have to put it on premises, maybe I'm in a hybrid scenario where I want to move this particular very sensitive business application into my on-premises environment, or maybe in a data center running in the cloud that isn't maybe on Microsoft's technology fabric, we can do that very easily with this new model because of the fact that we're separating our web applications where we're running our apps to where we're actually running our services in the Office 365 cloud. Or maybe in a hybrid scenario where I have SharePoint server and Exchange server on premises. I can still run my app model totally on premises as well. So don't feel like the app model means you have to use Office 365. The app model is certainly something you can do in an on-premise scenario. And in modules in the future, we'll actually show you how you can go and set up the app model for both an Office 365 dev environment and also for an on-premises environment as well. And then again, we've already mentioned the hosting freedom, but the other aspect of this really is that from a framework's perspective, where we used to be very coupled to the particular thing we were deploying in SharePoint, now we have this ability to really start to reuse frameworks and common libraries that we're doing in the user interface in a very streamlined way. It was very hard to get reuse across different solutions you deployed in Office in VBA where it was tightly coupled to that product because now you can start using things like MVC and MVVM and a very kind of more service-oriented architecture, whereas before we were tied very strongly into the product service architecture that we had that we were building into. So this really does allow you as a developer to start to think more as you would do if you were just building things on their own outside of our stack. So when we talk about developing in Office 365, often we get asked what types of scenarios, and Brian's already mentioned a few, and we will go into some demos in a moment to show you some of these compelling reasons why you'd want to be inside our user interface. But looking at this slide where we show the focus of being able to build within SharePoint and within the Office client, some of the things we're seeing already from a business perspective is really things like the ability to do expense tracking within a common canonical example of an organization where, you know, typically those things are happening in Excel, or maybe in the case of a vacation request, there might be a team site for your team where you want to submit your vacation and you want your team to have that visibility of when you're going to be off. Or maybe you're planning an event with your team, you want to be able to do that in SharePoint, but there might be custom business processes you want to put in place when you're doing that event planning. And the ability to run that and build those custom solutions and deploy those either via the app catalog directly into your enterprise, or maybe if you're an ISV, build these and submit these to store for many organizations to consume these apps is a really compelling reason. But part of this power of the services and the data is that it doesn't just have to be our products inside Office 365. You can go off and leverage things outside of that, such as Windows Azure. So maybe there's some mobile services that you want to leverage within the Azure stack, as well as leveraging a lot of the Office 365 services. Or maybe you want to leverage some Bing data, or even reach out to some SQL servers running in SQL Online, or maybe on premises. You now have the ability to do that in a much more flexible way than you could in the previous models that we had on top of Office and SharePoint and the rest of the Office division platform. So one thing, I think a key point that I wanted to kind of make sure you guys are aware of here is that, you know, as an app model developer now, you have to understand that if you understand general web development, you also know how to build on top of the Office 365 stack. So if you're already doing web development applications, it's very easy for you guys now to hook into our app model and be part of our user interface, or to hook into our API and call and consume our services there. So with that, I figure we'll go into some demos. I'll ping one off first, and I'll give Brian time to set up his one. So I'm just going to jump into my environment here. And I'm just going to show you a typical in scenario here, which is an Office 365 site. So we're all familiar with the SharePoint 2013 interface. Now, the concepts of apps is that very much like lists and libraries, when I go into site contents here on the left-hand side in my quick launch, we now have this ability that we can see that we have existing apps like AvePoint Meetings, for instance, but we also have the ability to add additional apps. So I can jump in here and I can see what apps are available to my organization on the left-hand side. And then you can see here we don't actually have any in my demo tenant. But what I can do is I can actually go over to the store. So I jump into the store here and I can go and see all of the available apps that ISVs or maybe individual independent developers have submitted to the store. And we've categorized these things based on different areas of scenarios we believe that people will start building these apps in. And there's just over about 1,000 in there right now, and they're growing every day with the submissions we get through. And obviously they're incrementally being improved on as more versions come out. And Brian's going to show one in a moment from a DocuSign perspective. I've already got one added. So in the essence of time, it's going to go back a little bit. And I'm going to launch my AvePoint Meetings app here. So what this AvePoint Meetings app is actually doing is it's allowing me to track my meetings that I have with my organization. And what you can see is we can have many meetings that maybe our team's working on. So you can see here I have a weekly demo meeting that I have running. So I'm going to launch that meeting. And so the concept here is that we might have some agendas that we're going to meet every week and talk about, and there will be some notes that we take, there will be some actions from the meeting, and maybe there will be some decisions from that meeting as well.
Now, this is also a great place to call out that idea of this loose coupling, because if you look at the website that Jeremy's at now, if you look at the URL up at the top there, he's no longer actually on a SharePoint site, even though from the end user's perspective, it still felt like you were just on SharePoint. So all of the logic for this solution is actually off running on AvePoint servers, where they have that flexibility to go and run it on any stack that they want, but then they're still integrating with SharePoint, so it still feels from the end user experience like it's just part of their natural flow.
Right. And one of the benefits of this, and I have some history in this one, this was actually one of the products that I looked after when I was actually at AvePoint. This is running on ASP.NET MVC4 platform, and it's actually in real time. So if Brian were to log in on his browser right now, and I, as I see here, if I add an action to catch up with Brian, oh, I've completely hit my keyboard wrong. If I caught up with Brian later, and maybe I assign that to myself here, that's using a people picker that's built in with a widget in Office there. What that's actually doing is storing that in a SharePoint site. Now, if Brian was to have this app open on his browser, he would instantly see that action appear, because what it's used in the background is a .NET framework called SignalR, which is often used for games, but in this instance, it's used for this instant interaction between individuals running this app. So this gives the ability to leverage some of these frameworks that if I was in maybe the existing SharePoint stack, I wouldn't have been able to use SignalR to build that kind of real-time interaction with my user interface. So it really goes to show the power of these apps. Now, from a building blocks perspective, just to highlight this, if I go back now to my SharePoint site, so I'm going to go jump back out of my meeting, and then I'm going to go back to my site. All of my data, if I go to the site contents here, is actually stored inside SharePoint lists and libraries. So you can see that that catch up with Brian afterwards task is actually available in that SharePoint site. Now, I could go and then use other building blocks of SharePoint like workflow and trigger a business process that would then maybe keep poking me to make sure I did actually catch up with Brian. Other people would be able to go and check what tasks are actually available in here. But obviously there's a really cool feature in SharePoint. If you go to your About Me in the top right, which allows me to go and see all of my tasks. So I may have 20 site collections I'm working in for various different projects. I can come over to my tasks on the left-hand side here, and this will roll up all of my SharePoint tasks. So I might have the AvePoint Meetings app in 20 different site collections. What you'll see here is that it's just kind of using the search widget to go and find all of those new tasks. And now you'll see that it's actually giving me that roll up of the action here and this action from another app that I've got somewhere else in my system. So as a developer, it's not something I have to code. I get all that plumbing for free as part of the power of that SharePoint platform. So
and the other key value there beyond just it makes it easier for you, you don't have to worry about building up a database for tasks or things like that, is that it also makes the app feel more connected, right? Because for the user, they already have a place where all their tasks are. And so if your app is having tasks off in some separate place, it's just harder for the user to feel like, okay, I've got to go to these different apps to see all of my tasks. But if you're using those Office 365 APIs, you're talking to the calendar, you're talking to things like tasks, it means that your app is now connected. It's now part of that overall party, right, for where the user's living and how they're getting their work done.
Yeah, and also in this scenario, what was really interesting was that the customers were interested in maybe there was tasks that were created outside of that meeting that maybe weren't entered when the meeting was running. Well, because those tasks are in a SharePoint list that has an API, people were able to call the list API to create those tasks with obviously the right relevant IDs to make sure it was part of the correct meeting without AvePoint as a vendor having to go and build APIs themselves to manage that task API. So again, you get a lot of that plumbing for free that you would have to build yourselves if you targeted that. So hopefully, that shows you that value of building on top of this platform rather than kind of rolling everything yourself. So with that, let's flick over to Brian. And Brian, you're going to show the DocuSign demo, right?
Yeah. I've got a few demos I'll go and walk through. And you can cut me off when it seems like I'm going too far here. But the first thing I wanted to show was an example of an app, an ISV that we've worked with, a great partner, that's really looked at ways of integrating across the suite. And so the first thing I'm going to show is the way you can go and extend the experience within Outlook. It's a key thing that we've seen for a long, long time, where people really want to go and get their experience right there in Outlook, because that's where a lot of people actually spend the majority of their day. So right now what I've got is I've got Outlook web app right here, Outlook Online. And so I've got a couple different messages I can go and click on here. And I got this message from Contoso Images that's going and saying we're going to be a partner with them, and they want to go and get permission for me to go and permission from me so that they can go and use my screenshot, face. So one of the things I want to first call out here is if you can see there's a list of apps that show up here, right at the top of the mail, Insightly, LinkedIn, DocuSign, and then there's this Action Items app. And so these are different partners that we've worked with that have put apps up in the store that go and complement your email experience. So I can go and click on this Insightly app, for instance, and what this does is Insightly is an online CRM system, and it'll go and it'll see that Contoso was the one that sent me the email address. It'll go and look at all the other people on the to line of the email, and it'll go and provide me information about that. So I could go see right here, oh, Contoso is one of my customers. I can go and add a new opportunity based on that. And this entire experience, this app that's running right here, is all just built with HTML and JavaScript. There's a lightweight JavaScript API that their app is able to call to go and get information like who sent the email. They can even go and read the body of the email message. We also have one from LinkedIn, for instance, where I could go and look up information in LinkedIn about the people that sent me this. But what I want to do, since this mail is a document that I need to go and sign and send back, rather than going through that pain of printing the thing out, signing it, scanning it, or faxing it and sending it back, I'm going to go and use this DocuSign app. And so what DocuSign does, they're going to use the API, and they're going to go and grab the attachment. They're going to automatically upload that to the DocuSign servers, and then they're going to go and give me a view of that document right here inside of the email message. So I could go and scroll down here in this document. That's where I was supposed to go and sign, but rather than having to go and print the thing out, I'm just going to go and drag and drop my signature right there in line. And now I can just send this back. So just like that, with just a few seconds, I've now gone and done that flow that used to be kind of a pain. It's a great app. It's a great example of going and making people much more efficient in that application they're living in, which is Outlook. Now, as I said, DocuSign is showing up across the suite. They have an app that shows up inside of Word, so any Word document that I'm working in, I can also go and add signatures, or I can even go and kick off a workflow around approvals. And another one that I'll show here is their integration that they have inside of SharePoint. So if I go here to my OneDrive for Business folder, I have a whole bunch of documents that are showing up down in here, right? And I've got this mutual NDA document. And you may notice that I've got this DocuSign tab that shows up here. So I'd acquired that DocuSign app, that extension now shows up here. And if I go and drop this down, I can go and sign that document. I can send that off to ask for additional signatures. So again, right there in that flow of where I'm doing my work, right there in my OneDrive, I can go and pick different documents and kick off a signature process. So a really powerful example of an ISV going and integrating throughout our experiences.
Yeah, and I think that's key is that where, especially myself as a SharePoint developer, I used to think just about SharePoint. Now, when I'm building with the app model, I can build for both. I can easily build for Word and Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, and SharePoint with that same technology stack. And I think for most business solutions now, what we're seeing is that, like DocuSign has, that you don't just live in one environment. Sometimes you're in OneDrive for Business, sometimes you're in SharePoint, sometimes you're in Outlook, sometimes you're in Word. And this ability to kind of present an overall solution in those multiple products is really compelling, and it's what users expect these days from their experiences across the stack.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the way that the app model had been before, the way that it used to be able to extend Office, it was really more about making the person more efficient just inside that one app. Like, I just want to make somebody more efficient inside of Excel or inside of Outlook. But these days, what we're seeing is most solutions that people are building are about groups of people working together. They're very social. They span a bunch of our different applications. And so we really are shifting the model so that people realize that Office 365 all up is a rich set of extensible experiences and services you can go and use. And it's all done in a very consistent way. So it's not like the old days where if you were an Excel developer, it meant that didn't in any way apply to SharePoint. It's all now using the exact same technology. So you can really just be an Office 365 developer and take advantage of all of that. Yeah. So let me show an example too inside of Excel, just since I was mentioning Excel. One of the other ways that we're going to see people start to discover apps is through templates. And so here I am inside of Excel. I went and clicked on File, New. There's a set of templates that show up for me right away. And one of the templates here is this PayPal invoicing template that I can go and get. So PayPal's another partner that we worked with. They built an app for Excel, and they also built a template that goes and packages up that app. So when I go and open up that PayPal invoice, you'll see that I just get a spreadsheet that shows up here on the right. And on the left here, there's this task pane. This is the app that PayPal built. This is also using that same technology, just HTML and JavaScript. In fact, I could go and right-click on this and say View Source, and you can see the HTML there that they've used to go and build this solution. And what this app does, it goes and connects to my PayPal account. So I'm logged into this app with my PayPal account. I can go and see the list of different invoices that I've gone and sent off already. I could decide I want to go and create a new invoice. And so if I'm someone who really, rather than using the PayPal web experience for creating an invoice, if I'm somebody who just loves to live in Excel and that's how I'm used to building out my invoices, I could just use Excel and go and fill out that invoice and then hit send, and it'll go and take all of that data, push it up into PayPal and create that new invoice. I can also go and click on some of those existing invoices that I had, like this invoice that I sent to Rolando here for $1,700. And when I go and click on that, you'll see that the spreadsheet, as soon as I clicked on that, the spreadsheet went and updated. I should have picked one that had cooler descriptions than
Item. Interesting to see what you were charging Rolando $700 for. He's another person in engineering.
I couldn't remember which one I wanted to pick, so I figured the one with the most money probably I'd put more time in actually creating real products, but I missed on that one. Maybe this next, let me go and click on another one here, this $1,300. There you go. There's actually some real ones. So you can see here that I can click through on the different invoices, and I'll just go and update the spreadsheet with those, right?
Most of the developers watching this are going to be used to seeing foo-foo and keyboard smash entries anyway, so you don't have to worry too much about the polish of the demo, bro.
Well, there's cameras on me, so I feel a little bit more polished. But I failed on that one. Let me show another example that we were really excited about, which is one that we did inside of Word. Here I am, and I've got Word open. This is just a document where I'm writing about the Roman Empire. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and insert an app. So that first app that we had from Excel, I just launched a spreadsheet template that I already had the app inserted. I can also go and add apps myself. And so I could go off to the store and see what apps there are for Word and go and pick one of those to go and insert. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go and insert this Wikipedia app. So I'll go and click on Add, then I've got to trust the app, because the app is now going to have the ability to go and read my documents, so I go through a trust, and I just do that one time. And now what I can do is I can go and click on areas of this document, like let's say I want to find out more about Julius Caesar. I can go and highlight that, and you'll see that the Wikipedia app goes and updates automatically. It goes and pulls information directly from Wikipedia about Julius Caesar. So to think about what's happening here, again, the app is just HTML and JavaScript that's running right there in the task pane. And then there's an API that we go and expose that allows the app to go and see what my selection was and read that information. So it goes and looks up Julius Caesar. I can say I want to go and click on some images. So here are some images of Julius Caesar. And then what I can do is I can go and decide, oh, I like that image a lot. I want to go and insert that into the document. So I can go and click on that image, hit plus, and it's again going to call an API that's going to go and write that image directly into my document. So it's able to read information from the document, write information back in. That's the same way that that Excel application had worked as well with the PayPal app, where the PayPal app was able to take data from PayPal services and push that into the spreadsheet. Or if I created a new invoice in the spreadsheet, it was able to grab that out and push it back up. So it gives you this nice, lightweight way of getting the Office clients to be connected to your services, which is a really important thing for us. Again, back to the idea of Office being connected.
Yeah, and so I think what's really cool about the Wikipedia one is that's actually something that our teams have built in internally, but we've shipped that on GitHub, and we'll talk a little bit more about the open source GitHub near the end of this module.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's an open source project, really cool.
So moving forward, one thing I wanted to highlight quickly before we jump onto the APIs is there are two distribution choices, as we've touched on a little bit. The first is, as an ISV, you can put those things into the store, but as an enterprise developer or a hobbyist, you can ship those things directly via the app catalogs that are available in Office 365. So it doesn't have to go through a store to get it into your application, which is a really important point to make. But from a store perspective, we are seeing a lot of momentum there. So there is a lot of opportunity out there as you as a developer to actually get your ideas into the store very, very quickly and reach all those different businesses that are already available and using Office 365 and have those store links in all the Office clients and obviously linked in the SharePoint Online. And moving forwards, we'll make the store a lot more prominent in some of the other products that we have available in the platform as well. So to jump on now with the Office 365 APIs, what we're seeing with the Office 365 APIs is really that we came from this world, and I've done this many a times when I've built apps for enterprises, where we've had to ask the users for a username and password, which we've had to store within our mobile device apps. And obviously from a security perspective and rotating passwords, this wasn't often a great idea. And we go deeper in this in additional modules, but we just wanted to get this concept of across of that when a user now logs into those mobile apps, essentially, if they're calling off to the Office 365 service, they'll actually be told what that app needs. In this example, it's going to go and read user profiles, it's going to go and check that user's calendar, and it's going to have the ability to send a mail. And that's really, really important to have this concept of the user then consents this mobile application or this standalone web app to have the ability to use that user's credentials in form of the token to then reach out to that service and interoperate with it.
And one of the key things there too, especially for people that have more familiarity with building solutions inside of Office, is in the past, if you were going to go and connect to Exchange and build a solution on Exchange, it's very different than if you're going to go and connect to SharePoint, for instance. But in that dialogue that Jeremy was showing, you saw that really that set of consent, those the different access you were getting, some of that information was Exchange, some of that information was in OneDrive, but it's all done in one consistent way. The user just grants access once, and we go and take care of all of that. And then the APIs that you'll call are also consistent across both.
Right, and to that point, as a SharePoint developer, for instance, with this slide, you can see that we're all very, very familiar with the client APIs, such as accessing sites, lists, and libraries, and workflow, and search, and different things. But what's interesting is with this new Office 365 API, not only can we access, say, Exchange and SharePoint, but also the Active Directory, which is obviously the Azure AD that's hosted in the cloud that Office 365 leverages, as well as things like Exchange and in the future Outlook.com. And obviously, with SharePoint, there is a new OData 4 API that's being used inside that service, but we can also leverage those existing skills we know from the existing SharePoint client API. And obviously with OneDrive, whether it's in for business and in the future with consumer, we'll be able to use those same endpoints inside this API to access those services within our devices and our standalone applications. So I'm really excited to see some of the scenarios of leveraging some of these services in the future. So with that, I'm going to show two demos here. I'm going to jump straight away into my MVC demo here, which is this research tracker one. So I've got that running, so I'm just going to actually just stop that and just quickly tick over. So this is a standalone ASP.NET MVC4, and it's got Angular running in it as well. Now, I am running in Chrome just to show that we can obviously support multiple browsers. And part of this actually is to do with the fact that where my machine's on the corporate network, it's kind of always trying to force me into my Microsoft Office 365 account that we use. So by having a separate browser, and this is really relevant as a developer, you can test multiple different applications here. The cool thing about this sample is we are in the process of putting this on GitHub, so you actually better pull down the entire source for this and see how it's hanging together. So in this scenario, this isn't a SharePoint app. This is just a standalone app that's running in Azure. And the concept of this app is that we can have multiple research projects. I can go away and create a project here. So we can just say MVA test project. And I can click save. And that's going to go and save that data inside SharePoint Online. And from here, when I jump into that project, you'll see various different pieces of research that I find. Now, if I go off to maybe a website and we go to dev.office.com, which is somewhere that you as a developer should really be hitting up, and there's a bookmark clip that you can add. When I touch that bookmark clip, that's working with this same standalone Azure web service. And when I click save there, what that's doing is it's saving that bookmark back into my research project. So again, all those links are actually being stored inside my SharePoint site, which is really, really cool. But in addition to that, if I go over and I jump in and I kick off these additional services here, what I can actually do when I jump and trigger my Outlook web access, and I just need to plug in a password. And again, as a developer, you may have multiple different tenants that you use for these things. And so what we need to do is I don't tend to click the remember my account settings because I do jump between tenants for my testing, and you'll probably do the same as well. But what that's going to do now is it's going to boot up my Outlook web access into OAuth with the context of my email. And much like what Brian showed with the DocuSign, when I select, say, this email that's come from myself, I tend to send myself emails a lot, it's a bit sad. When I click on the Research Tracker app, what that's actually going to do is it's going to scan all my email for any hyperlinks, like dev.office.com. And there's always going to be one little error, but I'll quickly click retry here. I can select my MVA test project and the discovered link. So it found that dev.office.com that was in my email. And then essentially I can add that link directly into my project. So then in the background, and again, it was the same URL, so the demo was a little bit fail for me as well.
That was cool though, still.
But it's out showing me now, then if I refresh this, that I'll have two links in there, one that I added from a bookmark clip, and one that I added directly from Outlook, and you can see in the comments there.
Yeah, that's cool.
So this is all open sourced, and it's all 100% using Office 365 APIs, standalone ASP.NET MVC. So again, you know, there's a huge amount of flexibility there to leverage those services. And the nice thing about this project to keep an eye on is that we're going to keep evolving this. So we're going to build mobile apps that allow you to surf the web on your mobile and add links to this research project where it's all stored in SharePoint. We're going to add the ability to have Yammer discussions around individual research projects. And if we have more time, we'll show in a secondary module, we'll show a Word add-on that we've already built that allows you then to use all this research and inject that research, much like he injected the Julius Caesar image into his document. So again, fully open source for you guys to go and pull away and dig it and see how we built those things. And we go into a lot of detail on some of the design decisions we made to leverage our services in this business scenario.
Yeah, Jeremy's really been doing a great job of pushing us to go and get almost every demo that we give now. He goes and pushes our team immediately to go and package it up and either hand it off to him or just go and put it right on GitHub ourselves. And we've been getting a lot of great feedback around it. So I'm really glad that Jeremy's been pushing us on that.
Yeah, thank you. I think the exciting part there is, though, that as well as getting the engineers to submit them, we're actually encouraging the community to engage. So we've already had a few projects where people have submitted changes to enhance them, which has been really cool to see the community engage on that level. So if you're listening and you see a demo and you're like, it'd be really cool if that research project did XYZ, you can clone that project down, make those changes and submit them, and we'll review it and approve that. And then from that point forward, you'd be credited with the fact that you've added to that additional demo scenario that we may use in a training session or maybe even in a keynote. So we really want to work together with you guys as the community to keep growing these things.
Yeah, we've been excited about the community engagement so far, like with the OpenXML SDK, so the SDK that lets you go and access the Office file formats for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. We went and put that up on GitHub about a month ago. And I'd say after just a couple days of having the thing posted, we already had somebody go and update it so that it would go and work against Mono. And so we were really excited about the engagement so far. And so we're going to keep putting more stuff up there. We're going to keep participating. And Jeremy's one of the key guys that's helping kind of lead the charge there.
So I'm just setting up another demo here. So while I'm doing that, it's come up now. That's good.
You thought I was going to talk just a little bit longer.
Yeah, I hoped you would have just carried on a little
bit. Sorry about that.
There was a few breakpoints in my code. So it was like, so this demo I'm showing on my screen right now is just another example of the APIs. This one is just about to be put into the into the GitHub as well. What this is showing is all of the OneDrive for Business documents in a Windows 8 app, where these documents here are actually coming from a SharePoint site. So these are demo documents that have been placed inside here. And obviously you can see here we've got the experience being able to go away and post a comment about this document on Yammer or delete it directly from here or open it into a viewer inside Windows 8. But also what we can do, and this is a really common scenario I do, but it's sometimes the other way around, is on the right-hand side here, I have my OneDrive for Business documents. Sometimes I'll start a document in OneDrive for Business, but then I realize that actually I want my team to contribute to it. So in this scenario, this is my team site for the rest of my crew. What I can do is very easily now is just right-click, it's the other way around, right-click here, and then I can copy that back to my personal site, but I know what we have coming here is a copy the other way as well.
Way, yeah.
And so now you see that that document's now appeared in my OneDrive for Business, and now what I could do here is then just remove that from my team site here. So again, you know, if that's a common scenario, that's something that you could build into a business solution really, really easily and have people doing that on Windows 8 apps, or maybe use Xamarin or Cordova so that that's available within Android or iOS or whatever mobile device people are comfortable with using.
Yeah, and any of those documents that you go and copy into your OneDrive for Business account, then all the things that we've been talking around with the Office Graph and Oslo, right? That experience on top of that, like, it's amazing the discoverability that you'll then get with because of getting those documents up there into the cloud.
Yeah. So with that, just to kind of wrap up here on this module, what I wanted to highlight with this final slide is that, you know, we're moving very fast. Brian's team are extremely busy, and they're keeping our marketing team on our heels in making sure that we're getting this stuff out there so people are aware. Last year, you know, obviously we released the apps for SharePoint and apps for Office and some amazing tooling directly within Visual Studio and the store. And this year we've been really focused on adding additional contextual apps and compose time apps available inside those products. And some of the demos we've showed today have really highlighted that.
Just to hit on that a little bit more, like I had mentioned that a lot of the updating is coming through the service, but even the clients themselves, like for Office SP1, we went and added the ability to go and insert what we call contextual apps directly into PowerPoint. So you can have an app rather than just being a task pane. It can show up right in line in a slide. And so with that work that we did, we now have a whole bunch of apps, like for the education space, for instance. There's an app for Khan Academy that lets you go and insert in quizzes directly into a PowerPoint slide. And now we're seeing teachers that will go and build out an entire lesson plan using PowerPoint where they can insert quizzes in line as well. Their students can go and just use the PowerPoint online to go and click through the lesson plan. And as they get to the different slides with the quizzes, they go and fill out the quiz, tells if they got it right, then they move on to the next piece. So that was a big update, just something that we released just a year after we'd shipped Office 2013 in the client.
Yeah, and an additional one on that slide there is the Android SDK that we shipped as well, which is also available on GitHub. And there's a few samples there that you can pull down and opening Eclipse or Android Studio that really kind of highlight the power of being able to leverage these APIs directly from within Android native development, as well as the Cordova and Xamarin, which is a multi-platform development approach. But in terms of what's coming in the future, maybe you can talk to some of these. I'm going to put you totally on the spot here, but you can see on the slide there, we've got things like new endpoints and iOS.
Yeah, some of these are a little bit more crisp in terms of actually the dates for when we'll do them. And other of these are things that we're just starting to work on, so we're not quite as clear on exactly when we'll be done with them. Clearly adding more endpoints, and by endpoints what we mean is that Office is running on more and more devices. And the point of the application model apps for Office was to pick a model that would work across platforms. That's why we made the big bet on HTML and JavaScript. So we'll continue to go and add that capability on other endpoints. In fact, it's already available on iOS if you're using Outlook. So if you're using the Outlook app for iOS, that goes and supports apps for Office. So like that DocuSign app or the LinkedIn app that I got and demonstrated. If you're using Outlook there, you'll go and get those apps showing up as well. Some of the other pieces that we're going to go and focus on, the APIs, the Office 365 APIs that we released or announced in February, they've been in preview. So clearly the next thing that we're working on is taking all of the feedback that we've had so far, making a few changes to them based on some of the feedback, and then aiming to get those out of preview ideally later on this year. I can't remember the
iOS SDK was the other
iOS SDK, yeah. Yes, of course. So the Android SDK, we went and already released. The demos for that, the example apps up on GitHub are super cool. There's an app that I love to go and demo where you can go and take pictures with your Android device and it'll go and automatically upload them into your calendar for any meeting that's taking place at the same time. It's a cool demo. I don't know how much I'd actually use the thing, but I love demoing the thing. For iOS, it'll be very similar where we'll go and create an SDK for iOS to let you go and connect to the O365 services, help you with auth, help you go and connect to that set of services. And the other thing we'll start to do around those SDKs for Android, iOS, Windows is look at what are the interesting device capabilities that exist on those platforms and looking at ways of taking advantage of those as well from within the SDKs just to make it so that you can really build a great experience on each of those devices.
Yeah, so there's a lot to look forward to with the future of the Office 365 development platform, and this is really, you know, just the beginning, and it'll evolve over time. But to kind of move forward with that kind of messaging there, in terms of the tools that are available, essentially right now, all you need is an Office 365 tenant. So you go and sign up for one of those on trial. There's development tenants as well, and in future modules, we'll go into more detail about that. And you can do this shared environment where essentially you can have one Office 365 development tenant with multiple site collections that your developers can use, or you might sign up for individual tenants depending on how you want to split and slice the stuff. And essentially you just need Visual Studio on your machine to get going in a very streamlined way to go and grab these demos down from GitHub and F5 in. So you know, you can get started right today, and again we'll go into depth and more detail around getting started in the individual demos that we've shown in this overview module in subsequent modules in this course. So what else do you need to know? What other resources are there out there that we encourage you guys to keep an eye on? Well, naturally, the first resource that we're driving you to is the dev.office.com, which is the Office 365 Developer Center. This is really where we're going to explain to you guys what opportunities out there from an ISV or maybe an enterprise developer, how you can get going with building those applications, how you can transform your existing code from full trust code in SharePoint or VSTO, VBA, COM add-ins that you used to do with Office client application development over to this new app model, as well as list you a lot of those code samples that are available, whether it's in GitHub, whether it's open source stuff the community's done in Codeplex, or maybe in the MSDN Code Gallery, or even on people's blogs that we found are very compelling and useful. So we're really going to become that hub at dev.office.com to all of that information that we find and discover out there in the world. And also from a patterns and practices perspective, I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, we're going to focus very heavy in some of the learnings we've had by working with large enterprises and large ISVs on the best approaches to when it comes to building this app model stuff. And so the other area that we're going to reach out to you guys is really around our blogs. So blogs.office.com, especially /dev, is where we want you guys to kind of keep an eye on, track us on the RSS feed, add notification alerts on your mobile devices, whatever way you work to keep up to date. I actually do a weekly pod show on there where we interview people like Brian and other people in the engineering team. We're going to interview ISVs, we're going to interview MVPs out there to get their opinions on the Office development model and what they're doing in that space. And this is really where we're going to communicate all of our announcements, all of our general Office 365 news, but also list any events coming up, such as build conferences and other Microsoft events in the future. There's also a really nice garage series, which another colleague of mine in marketing does called Jeremy Chapman, which are available on YouTube. And it's an all-up Office 365 thing. But he's been doing some really nice developer stories where he'll interview someone about what they've built on the platform, and that's in a video format, whereas the podcasts are obviously audio when you're commuting. So I'm sure when Brian's cycling to work or cycling to here earlier on, in goes the earbuds and he's listening to
me. Absolutely, every time.
Yeah, puts you to sleep every night, right?
No, it's fantastic.
So that's the blogs. And then the other really exciting thing, which is fairly new to us as an Office division, is that we now have this roadmap where every month we're going to be updating that roadmap with things that have launched, things that are being rolled out to the service right now, or maybe they're in development. And so you can go and check back. We do that pretty much at the middle of the month. So we work with Brian and the rest of his team to find out what's coming down the pipe so that we can start letting you guys know that it's coming. And we'll have associated blog posts there where we'll go in depth around some of those new features that are rolling in. So we give you a lot of visibility into what's coming in that space. So this is really kind of, hopefully it gives you an idea that we're being a lot more open than we may have done in the past on the future of the Office 365 development platform. And then lastly, as I mentioned, we do have this patterns and practices site, and all the links are available in the back of these slides. And essentially what this is doing is taking all that knowledge where we talk with large enterprise developers that are already really adopting this app model, and we're highlighting their things like branding scenarios and site provisioning scenarios and maybe remote event receivers that you might not be familiar with, or how we handle large file support, or how we do taxonomy-driven navigation. All those questions that we get from our customers, we're kind of answering those in a standardized way via this patterns and practices site. And we're just about to open source all of that on GitHub, so we can actually have community contributions for all that content as well. So it's not just with customers we work with directly, but you'll be able to contribute to this as well. So it's very exciting times where we're coming together as a community to share and our knowledge around the power of the Office 365 development platform. And then lastly, just to touch on the GitHub area. So github.com/officedev. The Android SDK is available up there. The code samples for the Wiki Word app is up there. The Android app that Brian mentioned earlier is up there. There's a Windows 8 app that's up there in expenses. There's dozens of apps already up there. And over time, as Brian's team build demos out and I'm pressuring them to get them on the GitHub site, they'll make it up there. Absolutely. But also the community have been writing them as well, and we'll get them up there too. So if you're interested in contributing, you can reach out on that community and we'll actively get going on that. And then just to kind of wrap up with that, moving forward, there are a lot of other courses that we're going to have on the Microsoft Virtual Academy in the future around Office 365 development. The course you're watching right now is really an introduction to Office 365 development, but we're going to drill down a lot further into other areas of courseware, such as a deep dive into the app model, so getting into our user interface, deep dive into the APIs, so what you can do from the different services that are available in those APIs. And then we're going to go into other areas that where we're going to talk about Android native development and iOS native development. And then we'll go off into Ruby and PHP and other non-Microsoft development stacks of how you can leverage the platform in those areas. So if you have any kind of gaps you think we need to fill from a training perspective, we're open for that discussion. We have a Yammer network, which is linked from dev.office.com, where we're engaging daily with the community. And actually, Brian and his team have done a very good job as well from an engineering perspective to make sure that they're part of that discussion as well. So we'd love for you guys to join that discussion with us on that Yammer network.
As well as user voice, right?
And then obviously from a user voice perspective, if you think there's gaps in the APIs and the product, we're absolutely looking for feedback on how engineering can fill some of those suggestions you have. And we do have very regular meetings where we go through that user voice feedback and it makes it into your scrums,
right? Absolutely, yeah.
So again, I look forward to hearing your feedback on this module and the rest of the course, and keep this conversation going. So again, Brian, thanks very much for your time today.
Yeah, it's great.
And I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and I look forward to your enjoying the rest of the modules in this course.